Hello, Cinnabar Moths, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moths podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Lucy, author of Skin Grows Over. Lucy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
It's wonderful having you. Thank you for coming on. So, leading up to the release of Skin Grows Over, were you feeling a lot of excitement for the release of the novella?
Yeah, I definitely was. It's my first ever book, so that was a very exciting thing for me. It's like, you know, I've been working towards it for such a long time, and I was feeling very kind of nervous for a lot of reasons. I think there's something very like exposing about having something you've written out in the world like that, but it really was something that I've kind of been fantasizing about since I was a little kid, so it was pretty exciting.
I can imagine being able to fulfill that sort of childhood dream is really an exciting thing to happen. So you mentioned that you've been dreaming about writing for this whole time since childhood. How long did you start writing Skin Grows Over?
I started writing it a long time ago, actually. About 5 or 6 years ago was when I first did the initial, not even the initial draft of it, when I first kind of wrote the thing that would kind of be transformed into the novella eventually. So I was actually doing a master's in creative writing in Ireland, and I was I wrote my master's dissertation as this kind of, I wrote it initially as like the beginning of a novel. And that was the sort of the germ of the idea that eventually got turned into Skin Grows Over. And it went through a lot of editing and a lot of like expanding outwards, then cutting down again, then kind of like restructuring. And you know, I got like super fed up with it for like a really long time, and I like put it in a drawer and didn't want to look at it for ages. But it was a long process to kind of get it to a place where I was happy with it. But yeah, it started its life about 5 or 6 years ago, so it's been with me a long time.
Yeah, it does sound like quite a while, and it sounds like you had a process that you had to go through with it. What was that process like of, you know, starting it up, stopping it, picking it back up, working it, restructuring, and all of that?
It was something that was at times very frustrating and very taxing, but also it was, you know, when I kind of got into the swing of it, it was something that was very rewarding. So as I kind of mentioned, I was like the initial, I can't even remember how many words it was. I think it was maybe like 10,000 words or something. So it was written as kind of like a chunk from a book, basically. And the idea was that it was the beginning of a novel. And so I submitted that for my master's. It like got, you know, a good write up or whatever. And I was like, great, I will take this and I will write a novel from it. And it was just, it just didn't work as a novel. I was kind of just adding stuff and adding stuff and like padding it out to try and get to a word count that I thought was like an appropriate novel word count. And it felt bloated, and it felt like it was padded out, and it was, you know, a lot of it just didn't work. And I spent ages looking at it and trying to like rewrite it and trying to figure out what it was that made it feel so bloated and so kind of like slow. And it was, I couldn't like see past that problem for ages and ages. And then I put it away for a long time and like started working on other things. And then I was like, no, there's something good in here. There's something that works. And I just printed it out, and I like went at it with like scissors and a highlighter and literally like cut out bits that I was like, this is not happening. This is not working. That's going in the bin. That's going in the bin. And I just like sat on my like bedroom floor with like all the pages that were being kept like out in front of me, and I just like restructured them and like literally moved scenes in front of other scenes, and that just like was so cathartic and like so enjoyable. And it felt great, and it was it felt like I was kind of rescuing the idea that was good from this kind of like mire of like boggy novel that just like wasn't working. So that felt amazing. But it was quite a, it's a long process, and it was a lot, but it was a lot of work. But I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I took the time to kind of find the project that was good and like that had potential, instead of just being like, oh, that's not working, throw it away.
So it sounds like the process of trying to make it work as a novel was rather fraught and difficult for you. But when you took a step back and, you know, let go of that requirement in your mind and then reapproached it as, okay, what can I make of the story that I have here? It seemed like it became a lot easier for you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I think I had it in my head that, like, you know, okay, this isn't a short story. If this is going to work, it has to be a novel. And like, I didn't even figure the idea of a novella being something that was a good fit for this, but it was the best fit in the end. So I'm really glad I did that kind of that final cut, you know.
Yeah, and so you had that final cut both figuratively and literally with the manuscript for it. And then from there, you have to go through the process of finding a publisher, unless you want to self-publish. How did you discover Ghost Orchid Press?
I discovered them on Twitter, actually. I found an open call for novellas from another indie press. I knew that, like, if you are looking to publish like a novella, there's less chance of you sort of, you know, if you're going to be like querying it in the kind of traditional way, it's something that agents or publishers, traditional publishers, are less likely to pick up on, and like going via an indie publishing route is like your best way forward. So I was definitely looking at indie presses. So I saw this open submission call and I was like, okay, I have this cut up and restructured manuscript that I'm quite excited about now. And I spent a good couple of weeks just really, really polishing that manuscript. And I ended up sending it to a couple of places. I sent it to, you know, the first one that I saw, and I sent it to another one. And then I found the submission call from Ghost Orchid, who were doing the similar thing. They were looking for, you know, novellas that were sort of in a particular sort of genre space. They were looking for like gothic and slightly horror. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think the thing about Ghost Orchid is how transparent they are. They're like extremely open about all kinds of things in their publication process. And like even on the kind of website for their open submission call, a lot of the kind of tenets of their contract were kind of laid bare there. And I thought that was really, really positive. I was like, okay, this is clearly a publisher that works really well with people and is really open and honest. And I was like, that was a real kind of, yeah, made me really keen to submit to them. And yeah, they were the people who got back to me and said they wanted to publish it. So yeah, that was really positive.
And so you'd say that your final decision to publish with Ghost Orchid Press was the openness and transparency that they had displayed, and that kind of is what ended up with the final decision?
I think so, yeah. I think it seemed like it was a really good fit in terms of genre. And because I don't know if I would like necessarily class Skin Grows Over as a horror, or if I would necessarily like class it as like a gothic thing or whatever, but like what I liked about Ghost Orchid was they seemed to kind of really enjoy that idea of looking for books that kind of didn't really particularly fit in any genre, but kind of like floated around the sort of horror and gothic space. And I thought that was really interesting. And you know, this transparency as well was the other major thing. It was just like, no, this is, I think, you know, you know you're going to have a positive experience with a publisher like that. And I have done so, yeah.
I think it's awesome that you've had a positive experience with Ghost Orchid Press so far. And you mentioned a bit earlier that they were rather transparent with the publishing process. What would you say has been the most surprising thing about publishing with Ghost Orchid Press?
I think the most kind of surprising thing is probably, I mean, this is me being very kind of new and kind of unexperienced with the kind of process of indie publishing in general. And I think I was really surprised by how much how much kind of mutual support there is within the sort of indie publishing world, and particularly within the kind of like genre specific indie publishing world. So in the kind of like horror publishers, gothic publishers or whatever, there is so much kind of building up and lifting up of your peers, of people who are just starting out. And it's really, really touching, actually. There's a real kind of sense of like, this is a community and we're going to kind of, you know, it's maybe a community that's going to get less attention than like traditionally published stuff. And like, we are going to put the effort in to sort of help each other out and build each other up. And I thought that was fantastic and really, really surprising in the best way. Like, really, yeah, lovely.
Okay, yeah. I do think that was something that was surprising to me as well when I was first coming into the indie publishing scene as a whole, was how collaborative in nature it is.
Definitely, yeah.
And so I think it's wonderful that you've also experienced this collaborative experience with your publication process. With Ghost Orchid Press. Now, separate from Ghost Orchid Press and the process of them, you said that you're relatively new to publishing in general. What would you say has been a very surprising thing about the publishing process as a whole for you?
I think something that I hadn't quite anticipated was the amount of sort of social media pushing that you're kind of like obliged to do. There's a lot of sort of like marketing and just kind of getting your book attention from kind of social media. That's sort of like, you know, even working with someone like Ghost Orchid, who are so kind of on the ball in terms of social media, in terms of marketing, like they're really, really consistently fantastic about that. There is still, you know, as an author, you're kind of still, part of your job is to like really push your own work and to kind of promote it as much as possible. And yeah, and I'm someone who's like really like not experienced with social media. I'm like, I don't know how to market things. But it was quite a learning curve to sort of learn on the job how to sort of market a book and how to promote something on social media. So that was quite an experience, but I enjoyed it, you know. It's fun in its own way.
I mean, that's the surprising aspect of how much work is involved with marketing your own book, was a positive experience for you. I think that can sometimes be overwhelming for people when they're first coming into it. It's like, wait, I have to do more after I published it? I wrote the book.
Yeah, it definitely was overwhelming, but it was I didn't feel that I was like thrown in the deep end and like left alone, if that makes sense. Like, I did feel that I always had, like, my publisher always had my back, and I wasn't doing it alone, if that makes sense. So yeah,
I'm glad that you've felt so impressed throughout this entire process. So you've gone through the publishing process for your novella and had a very positive experience, which I'm happy for, and it was released July 2022 this year. How did you celebrate the release of Skin Grows Over?
I actually managed to do something really special for it, just because I had like good connections in the kind of like bookshop world. So I have a really good friend who works in a branch of Waterstones, which is like the sort of Barnes & Noble of the UK, so the kind of big chain of bookstores. And he basically arranged for me to sort of like go in to this bookshop in the city centre and have like a proper book launch, which was incredible. And it was so like, it was so nerve-wracking, and it was so kind of, it felt so like a proper book launch. It was insane. I was just expecting like a few people to like trickle in, but it was pretty crowded, and it was like in the middle of a heat wave. And it was, I think, one of the hottest days ever on record in Glasgow, and I was like, oh, no one will turn up to this, and loads of people did, and it was incredible. And it was such a kind of rewarding and special thing to do. But it was, yeah, it was insane. And it was incredible. I never could have anticipated how well it would have gone. And like, yeah, it was such an incredible thing to do. And I was so grateful to my friend for kind of putting that on for me. And yeah.
I mean, it's awesome that you had that experience. That sounds like a very unexpected experience to have when going into indie publishing with your...
Exactly, first, yeah.
With, I believe, your first publication, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would have been happy with like 10 people in the back room of a cafe or something, but it was a proper kind of, yeah, it was amazing. It was so, so positive.
And so with the release of Skin Grows Over, was your family excited about the novella as well?
Yeah, they definitely were. So they were, you know, my parents were there at the book launch. And yeah, they've been, you know, I'm really lucky in that like my parents have been like super, super supportive of like me, you know, wanting to do writing as you know, wanting to study writing academically, do things like that. They've always been very kind of supportive of that. And it was really nice to kind of like be able to sort of, for them to be there and kind of like see that support kind of pay off and see like a book come into the world and see, you know. And I think, you know, they've really, really had my back for like my whole career. And it's been wonderful to share that with them. Yeah.
That's amazing. Having the support of your family and having them also be there for the that's really exciting to even for mm-hmm. me to imagine. It's exciting for me, and it's not even mine. And so with Skin Grows Over having now been released, it's been out in the world for roughly a month or so.
Yeah, pretty much exactly a month. Yeah.
How does that release feel now that you've kind of had the experience of the launch, the release, and starting to be a little bit distant from that? How's the feelings about the release?
It feels really good. It's been it's been really kind of nice to see people's reaction to it now. So you've kind of had that sort of month or so where people can kind of find a copy and read it, and you know, even just kind of looking at like Goodreads and stuff, or I've got kind of like people DMing me on Twitter and stuff, kind of getting in touch, and it's been lovely seeing that people are reading it and enjoying it, and that it's, you know, it's like speaking to them, and it, that's like an amazing, it feels very, very kind of validating, and kind of it kind of puts me at ease as well, because I think a lot of the fear in terms of you know, putting a book out into the world for publication is that, you know, either like no one's going to read it, or people are going to read it and they won't like it and they're going to be rude about it to you or whatever. And like, you know, like not that anyone would ever do that, but like it does feel nice that it's kind of starting to find its little niche in the world, and people are being really positive about it. So yeah, it feels good. It's like it's a good kind of remove to be at, where like the sort of the anxiety is kind of a little bit past, and I kind of get to enjoy the responses to it.
I think that's wonderful to be able to have this trickle in of positive feedback afterwards, and to be able to experience kind of that second high of I released the book and now I'm getting people who are connecting with what I put out in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So it feels wonderful. Yeah.
So now that you've released it, it's out in the world, you've done the marketing and everything, what do you hope happens next?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, because I kind of like, I'm kind of at the stage where I'm like, I'm working on like a full length novel. I'm hoping to get that done within the next kind of year or so. And kind of, yeah, I hope that this is like a sort of springboard to kind of other publications, hopefully. I hope, I've got kind of other things in the oven that I kind of hope to get out into the world fairly soon as well. So yeah, I hope it's a kind of springboard to other publications, basically. Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. And so, following up with that, are you planning for writing to be your career, if possible?
I mean, I would love for it to be my career. I really would. So I've kind of I've been really quite single-minded about wanting to be a professional writer for most of my life, to be honest. I kind of started I started writing properly as a kind of in my late teens or whatever. And I've kind of gone down the academic route with that. So I mentioned that I did a master's. I'm actually doing a PhD just now at the University of Glasgow, which is, creative writing focused, which is incredible. And it means that I kind of get to have that like novel writing experience within like an academic environment, which is great. And it also means that I kind of have this kind of academic understanding of kind of, ideally I get this kind of like academic understanding of kind of writing and of the publication world as well. So I really I'm really kind of keen to keep writing, to keep hopefully keep publishing things. And I've got a real kind of a real kind of drive to do that, and I've a real kind of affinity with the kind of the publication industry as well. And I would love for it to be my career. I would absolutely love that.
It's awesome that you have this goal with writing and it becoming a career and that you pursued it. And so, going back to what you mentioned about Skin Grows Over being a potential springboard to other publications and a sort of a launch to the rest of your career, if Skin Grows Over were to become a bestseller, what would you do?
I would be surprised. No, I would be delighted. I would be absolutely delighted. I think having this sort of like grassroots beginning to it, this kind of smaller publication, the smaller publisher, sorry, and the kind of like it kind of gives it that opportunity to sort of grow as a word of mouth thing, which would be incredible. And it's nice to see that despite it's like not despite, but even though it's kind of like come from like a smaller publisher with a kind of, not the as big a profile as like the kind of major publishers, it's still kind of finding its people. And for it to kind of keep finding its people in that sort of vein would be incredible. If it became a bestseller, I would be delighted. I would just be incredibly touched that it's found its way to its audience in that way. But I don't know. I don't know what I would do about that. I'd just really rush to get the next one out, hopefully, and kind of capitalize on my own success. Just that's that would be my plan. Just keep the momentum going, get the next one out.
Plan would be to take all that positive energy and put it to drive for your other projects that you're working on and getting those done.
Definitely.
So let's follow this track a bit of Skin Grows Over's success in this hypothetical world where it becomes a bestseller. Would you want it to become a movie or TV show if that was possible?
I don't know. I think the way it was written was very inspired by film, I think. I don't know, I'm quite like a visual thinker, if that makes sense. And there's a lot of kind of visual stuff in it that's fairly inspired by like movies that I've liked and that kind of thing. But I don't know. So it's kind of, I don't know how well it would translate. But maybe it would. Maybe that's someone else's job to figure that out. But I mean, it's had such a kind of a life of small indie things happening with it and kind of like existing in this kind of independent space. And it'd be amazing for like, kind of a group of like recent film grads with like no budget and just like an iPhone, made a film of it. I would love that. I don't think it'd I don't know if it would work well as like as a kind of feature film, but if like some people found it in film school and decided to like make a movie of it with like zero budget and recording things on their phone, I'd be delighted about that. And I think that's its natural kind of progression from an indie novella to just like a weird student film. I kind of see that happening for it, so I would be delighted if that happened, but
So in your mind, you wouldn't want it to become a feature film if it was offered, or would that be something you'd be interested in if it was?
I mean, I think if it was offered, I would not be able to say no to that. It would be madness to turn that down. But I think it's like at its heart, it really just like feels like this kind of like scrappy little indie project. And I don't know, I would like to kind of see it be taken forward in that respect. But who knows?
Okay. And so if that happened, you'd love it, but you think more realistically it'd be something that, would be a passion project for somebody else potentially, or something for like an
Yeah,
indie
I
film
mean,
festival.
definitely. And that would be, I'd be delighted to see that happen. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, imagine that a bit more if you were to take Skin Grows Over and put it into this movie idea, right? Feature film or in. It would probably be easier for this question. Do you know any ideas of who you'd want to cast for any of the particular characters?
I really do think that, like, in my sort of imaginings of it, it's just like random unknowns who've just like got their first ever acting gig. That's my kind of like I've never like really been able to kind of like picture like actors that I know playing any of these roles or whatever. But I think I really like the idea of just like really like random unknown actors like getting a gig. Playing these weird characters in this, yeah, I'm really sticking to this idea of like student film passion project, and I'm really committed to it. But like, I like the idea of, yeah, I kind of, yeah, I can't picture specific actors that I know, so I'm gonna go with just like, unknowns. This is them being discovered. This is them getting their big break. Yeah.
Okay. So following up with that, do you well, maybe to refine the question a bit more, instead of being specific actors, do you have specific type of person that you think would fit well for certain characters, for example, certain that's maybe not that, but a personality that you feel would be good to represent these characters in your mind?
That's very interesting. I don't a specific personality. I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. Oh. No, I think I'm really drawing blanks in terms of casting, and I'm really drawing blanks in terms of the actress question. I'm so sorry, but I think yeah, I like the idea of I just like the idea of like discovering people that I don't know, and kind of I don't know, like them. I like the idea of them kind of like staying characters in my head and kind of like not being almost like not being muddied by like being like, oh, that person was in that thing. I don't know, you kind of like you kind of dream of seeing your characters on screen like exactly how you imagined them, and like not like trying to like fit their face onto someone else's face, and like I don't know. Yeah, so it's that's a tricky question. And it's so hard for me to kind of just like envision that. But yeah, I would leave it to the casting gods, and I would put my trust in them.
Okay. And so it sounds like to me, from the way you've talked about it, that you wouldn't really want that much creative control over the process. Is that right?
Yeah, I feel that like, yeah, I think that like the adaptations that I really love and respect are kind of ones that like take source material and they're like, okay, that's that thing. We're gonna make our own thing, basically. Like, like the kind of the original text and then the adaptation are kind of they're two separate things, and they're like I always appreciate that more, and I think if they work together in tandem, that's amazing. But also like if there's sort of a real kind of difference between the original text and like this new artist putting their own spin on it and like making their own project out of it, I really like that as well. So I would really I would like it to be like an opportunity for someone else to take it and run with it and like make their own version of it and like, have full creative control. I think that would be, yeah, I would want that for them.
Okay, so you imagine somebody taking essentially the shell that you've created and filling it in with their own artistry and their own vision.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love that. I you know, I would really be interested to see what someone else did with it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be exciting to see with kind of the merging of their art with your art, in a sense, with that freedom involved with the playing back and forth between the two mediums and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be interesting. And I think it would be really, I would be really like flattered to see someone take something that I've written and really connect with it in such a way and kind of have their own idea of it in such a way that they can make entirely their own thing out of it. I think I would be very sort of touched by that and very kind of like, yeah, there's a real kind of sense of having inspired someone else's creativity that I think would really, I would really appreciate. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I get that. A desire to inspire other people is something I can connect with as well.
Yeah.
So following with this idea of it becoming a movie and it going through the entire process, would you want to go to the premiere if there was one? And if you did, who would you bring with you?
Oh, I would definitely go. I would be so excited to go and to see it. And like, I would like try and become best friends with the director kind of thing. I would be delighted. But yeah, I would probably like, I don't know. I think like when you see authors at book, at like film premieres or whatever, and you're just like, that's the weirdest person in the room and it's amazing kind of thing. And it's just like, yeah, there's all these like amazing like Hollywood people, then you're just like, that's an author just like being strange in the corner there. So I would like really lean into that. I think there's a lot of Bog Mummy content in the book, so I would probably bring as my date like an animatronic Bog Mummy or something, or just like a kind of scale model of one, and I would just kind of like bring it around with me and just like not mention it at all, just like, yeah, she's here with me. Yeah, I would, yeah, I'd lean into the weird author vibe very much. So
I think that'd be a fun take on it, you know, just fully embracing it.
Yeah.
So with, you know, a book that we write or a publication that we have becoming a bestseller, you know, getting a movie deal, all of that involves with a certain level of fame for you as the author, right?
In the best case scenario, yeah.
So following up on that, would you like to be famous and well-known? Is that something that you desire, like, to, for example, to be as famous and well-known as Stephen King, where you lost your anonymity? Or what level of fame would you want if you could control that?
I think I like the idea of being having a career that is like people recognize the name or whatever, and that I like the idea of having a degree of like acclaim as an author. And I think that's, you know, I think I'm almost embarrassed to admit that, but I think that's kind of like anyone's aspiration, whatever field they work in, is they want to be kind of appreciated for doing good work. And that's, I would like to be appreciated for doing good work. You know, I would work very hard to kind of achieve that. But I think I wouldn't know how to cope with being a famous person. And like, also there's I think there's like about, you know, three or four, you know, authors who are like proper famous household name people. I think like the chances are so small of like actually becoming famous from being an author that I'm just like, I'm not in danger. Like, I'm not in danger of becoming famous, and I have no kind of like, you know, it's not like a pressing threat. I don't feel that I don't see it happening for me, and I'm quite pleased about that. I think if someone saw my name on a book and was like, oh, I've heard that name before, I'm sure that person's written other stuff that I've read or that I've been recommended, I would be delighted about that. But, you know, I don't see myself, you know, becoming someone who's like a proper household name kind of thing. And I'm very fine with that. So, yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you wanted to have people recognize your name as like, oh, this person writes good books, I enjoy their stuff.
Yeah,
But you wouldn't want people to stop you in the street and be like, hey, you're...
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I think that's pretty unlikely to happen. So I think I'm safe from that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the chances are slim, but there's always a chance, right? So
Always
being
a
ready
chance.
for it is good.
Sure. Prepare yourself mentally. Just in case.
If you have a plan, you can't be surprised or something.
Well,
I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe I need to make a fame contingency plan just in case. Yeah.
And so, Lucy, I'd like to thank you for talking with me today and for being on the Writers' Triangle. It's been really wonderful having you here.
Thank you. I've really, really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me here.
And thank you to all of our beautiful moths for listening. Be sure to buy Skin Grows Over. Lucy, can you tell us where we can find you for social media links and such?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Twitter primarily, and my handle is at LEAllensGhost, and that is LEALLANS Ghost, just to make things complicated.
Yeah, do you have any other social media, or is it just
Twitter? I'm basically just on Twitter as an author. Yeah.
Okay. For everybody listening, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com and check out the transcripts. We'll have links to Lucy's social media. And again, Lucy, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much. I had such a good time. Thank you.